Curating Boise is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. Welcome to Curating Boise, the podcast that celebrates the hustlers and the shakers, the ones that took the short route of being their own creative boss right away, or the ones that left their corporate jobs like me, your host, Catherine Wojcik. Hey everyone, Catherine Wojcik here, creator of the podcast called Curating Boise, and I'm running my second episode here. First episode, I was talking to my friends Eric Bill and Jay Smith, more on the vintage goods side. Today, I'm focusing more on my love of food side, specifically savory and sweet, and how I interact with my friend Dan Jordan, owner, operations guru of White Dog Brewing.
Do everything.
Yeah, he does. He does everything. Anyway, he is here with me today, and we're going to talk, I think, a little bit about, well, what I would like to discuss with him is, you know, how White Dog kind of came about. He's told me the story a good amount of times. It never gets old to me personally, because I like to share the story myself as well. The reason I've selected Dan to be on my podcast is because I absolutely love the beer there. I have like two places in town that I really like to go to for beer. White Dog being number one. So anytime someone comes to visit me and my husband here in Boise, I always have to take them to White Dog. And my kids now too are following suit. They're like, when are we going to White Dog? When are we going to White Dog? And then the other one is Mad Sweet, of course. And hopefully I'll have them on here at some point too. I love Jerry and Sue. But we're going to focus on White Dog today. So Dan, White Dog Brewing, for those that maybe don't know specifically where it's at, is on Fulton and 9th. That's how I associate Fulton 9th at Capitol, Fulton 9th.
Yes.
Right. Yep. In there.
Yeah, right in there. 8th Street and okay. Fulton. Yeah, in the old Table Rock space.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, if anybody knows, you know, if you grew up in Boise, you grew up going to Table Rock Brewery.
Exactly. And because so. I know that when we first moved here in 1991, we were going to Table Rock.
Yep. That's the year that they opened.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Absolutely. And so they closed, I believe, May of 2014.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. And you guys have now been open since September of 2017.
Correct.
All right.
Yeah.
I think I've been going there since January of 2018. Sure. So, and for a while there, it was once a month. Now I think it's a little more frequent. I actually try to get in there once a week.
We won't tell anybody.
Okay. You're good. Outed myself. But I do. The burgers are great. Smoking time, of course. And then I am always following with my delicious vanilla cream ale, which he happened to bring today.
Absolutely.
Which I will be opening here shortly. So yeah, talk about, real quick, why you guys picked that spot?
Yeah.
Table Rock, maybe just, you know, how it all came about, where the name came from?
Yeah. Yeah, it's super interesting and random, right? Our whole lives have kind of been like that, and this is no different.
Right.
So yeah, White Dog was started in Bozeman, Montana by my partner and his brother.
Okay.
My partner's name is Troy. He's the brew guru on things. Him and his brother, so Troy and I were roommates in college, is how we met up in Alaska. And that would have been back in the late 90s that we met each other.
Wow.
And so Troy and his brother, they're originally from Wyoming. The younger brother ended up in Bozeman going to school. And JC, who is Joe's lady friend. We call her lady friend because they're friend? Not married.
Okay.
But they've been together forever.
Partner, yep. Lady friend.
And so Joe and JC were there in Bozeman, and Troy would bop in and visit them. He was all over the country with his job. And so JC gave them a homebrew kit.
Oh, wow.
And they, for Christmas one year. And Joe.
To make beer.
To make beer. So Joe and Troy brewed one time in the kitchen, and then JC kicked them out.
Oh.
Didn't like the smell.
Okay.
And so they moved out to the garage. They brewed one or two times in the garage, and Troy's science background got the better of him, and he said, this is ridiculous. I cannot brew consistent beer on a homebrew kit.
Okay.
So he bought a commercial pilot system.
Okay. Jumped from one like little small thing to something big.
Absolutely.
Really quick.
Yep. And so he's got a background in chemical engineering, biochem, stuff like that. And so they just went head over heels brewing on this commercial pilot system. And they brewed for 7 or 8 years in the garage.
Oh, wow.
On that pilot system. And a bunch of our core beers, our Scotch Ale, our Old English IPA, some of our core lineup are recipes that were developed on that commercial pilot system back all those years ago.
And were they selling out of the garage?
Can we say? Of course not, because that's not legal.
Okay. Whatever was legal like in the 90s or whatever. I mean, you could do a lot of stuff back then. Okay. On the DL.
Yep. So they were, let's also say that they were probably bumping up on the personal limits. Personal,
oh, there you go. Okay.
Of production. And so Joe was actually working a construction project in downtown Bozeman, and they were remodeling this really old building, and they were cutting it in two, and in one half they were building out for a distillery. And the distillery owner said, man, it'd be really cool if we could partner up with a brewery.
Oh, wow.
That way people could come in, they could get beer, they could get cocktails, they could get stuff like that. Joe said, huh? He says, well, we brew. So he called Troy. Troy flew up from Texas or wherever he was at the time. They talked about it, signed a lease, and started construction.
Oh, my gosh.
It was never a plan. It was never an idea to start a brewery. See, it just those worked.
And those are the things I think that make places like White Dog and the other small places here in Boise make them so fascinating, because they, you know, they stem out of just like a whim.
Yeah.
Too. Oh. I mean, not that this one is. I mean, this one seems like it was probably a little more thought out. It was the second
Absolutely
location.
Absolutely not.
But
this one was even more random.
Really?
Just like that one.
Wow.
So,
yeah. See, okay. That's even better. I love that. Even better. Just like, yeah, let's open another place.
So they got the construction done there.
Dang.
And they were only open for, what, a year and a half? Something like that. JC, her sister, lives here in town in Boise.
My goodness. Okay.
And my father-in-law snowbirds between, he lives out in Emmett and then spends the summers up in Alaska. So he goes back and forth. JC's sister lives here.
Okay.
So Troy was just trying to get out of town. So he was coming over here to Boise to hang out with Kendra and Jason.
Oh, wow.
The in-laws. And the right before he left, the guy that we pick up, that we used to get our growlers from over there, said, oh, you're going to Boise. If you ever need a commercial real estate agent in Boise, let me know. That's what my brother-in-law
does. Oh, Lord.
And Troy's like, why would I ever do that? commercial real estate agent in Boise.
Right.
So they came over, he came over, and they were parked in the parking lot, in our now parking lot. And they were boozing it up downtown. It was on a Saturday night. And they came back, and Kendra and Jason said, hey, do you remember, I can't remember her name, Susie from high school. She used to work at this place. I said, well,
when it was Table Rock?
When it was Grind.
Oh, Grind, the burger place. Okay.
So Table Rock Brew Pub was there from 1991 to 2014.
Okay.
They closed, and then there was a place called Grind Modern Burger there for, it was only there for about 18 months or so.
Okay.
So said, oh, it used to be a brewery in here. So Troy looked in the windows, it was late, saw the brewing equipment, and said, oh, what could it hurt? So the next day on Sunday, he calls Growler Guy, says, hey, what's your brother-in-law's number? I just want to find out some more about this place.
Oh, my gosh.
And tracked him down on Monday, called me I was flying back from New Zealand at the time. I hit the ground in LA. There was a message on my phone from Troy. We had always kept in good, close contact, met up all over the country.
Yeah.
And so I call him back and he says, "Hey, I think I found a location for a second spot. What do you think about Boise?"
Right. The place that he was like, "Why would I ever?"
And we had never even talked about anything in Idaho or Boise or whatever. Right. And we're like, "Well, that's funny. That's where Daryl goes in the winter, father-in-law." And so, yeah. So he got a hold, came back over the next week after he got a hold of the business owner, walked through with Skype or FaceTime, whatever it was. We just kind of walked through the place looking at it. About a month later, the business owner was leaving to go out of town. He says, "I'll give you guys first right of refusal on the place. If you want it, get a hold of me when I get back."
Perfect.
About a month later, my wife and I flew down, checked everything out. We kind of did our research on the town and the surrounding area. I quit my job about a month later and I moved down about a month after that to start construction.
That's so cool.
It, just random, weird. We were just ready for a change and
Bozeman,
it just worked
Boise,
out right.
Boise, two B towns.
Yeah.
It's good.
Both very Western.
Yeah.
I grew up in Colorado in a little tiny town and was in Alaska. Troy's from Wyoming, Montana, Idaho. It's all that
right,
whole
all
Western
that kind
thing.
Of, yeah. I like that. So was it... when you guys were sitting, well, between grind and the time you guys opened, just vacant.
Yep.
Nothing in there.
Yep.
Wow.
They just walked out. Gosh. They left everything.
Jeez-o.
And so, yeah, we literally had to gut the whole place. We had to do everything. I came down to do most of the construction. It's kind of, my dream job when I grow up is just to be like a maintenance man, janitor. I love fixing things and figuring out how to build stuff. And
so
I worked with the contractor. It was me and him for most of it, doing most of the construction.
Well, what's great about the inside of White Dog too, what I really like, especially right now with COVID going on and having to make all the, you know, you guys have to take all the extra precautions and whatnot. It's got that huge open floor plan, cement floors. You've got that cool ice bar? Is that what you call that?
Frost rail? Yep.
Okay. Love that.
Yep.
So it's all just, it's very open. So if you are extremely COVID conscious and you do want to be out, it's a good place to be.
Yeah.
So I like how you guys have really spaced it all out and stuff.
Yep. Yeah. We are so, so fortunate and lucky.
Oh my gosh.
You know, with all this going on, we've always liked being spaced out.
Yeah.
For a couple of reasons. One, we're not crowdy people.
Sure.
So we like having the tables spaced out.
Well, everyone's enjoying their own selves too. You're not like kind of involved with everyone else around you.
Absolutely. It's nice. And I'm in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And so I really like going out and talking to the customers, which means we can't have tables packed everywhere. I want to be able to get around and go talk to everybody.
And you zip pretty fast, I might say.
So even by pulling some tables for COVID stuff, we're so fortunate and lucky because we can still keep, I think we still have seats for about 80 people, but everything is way spaced out.
Yeah. And 80 people sounds like a lot, but when you walk into the brewery, I mean, you don't.
The tap room's like 3,500 square feet.
Yeah. Even
3,
if your tables
feet.
Were all full, you still feel like you're still in your own little zone.
Yeah.
Relaxing with your crew and having, hopefully they're all drinking vanilla cream ale.
Yeah. So it's great. And then the whole thing just even, it's gotten even weirder since then. We've had good friends move to town. We've had, some new owners come in now. Mike is, he's kind of operating as our CEO. He comes from a big sales and marketing background, super smart, is really helping out on that.
Is this
end.
Another college friend or no?
So his, Mike's wife was one of my athletes because I was a coach for a college team. And so she was one of my athletes and shot with my wife, my now wife. They were teammates.
Rifle shooters.
Yep. So yeah, rifle shooters is what all our background is in. And so it was just this weird, and they didn't even really plan on moving to Boise. They came here for a whole different job.
Wow.
And career. Not because we were here or anything, and it just reconnected us all back. And then he was ready for a change, and he jumped on with us. And then Troy's old kind of right-hand man out in the oil and gas fields, Matt, he was ready for a change. So he came up, and he's our assistant brewer now.
Oh, my goodness.
So you kind of have Troy and Matt that run the back end.
Okay.
Me and Mike run the front end. Yeah, so it's a ball. We love it.
Wow,
it's
that's great.
Weird, more serendipitous things going on.
And I think that's what makes, I don't know, that's what I think makes places really unique and special. All the intertwining of past to present.
Yeah, and just very, very genuine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So right when, right before COVID kind of hit us, you and I had talked to get together about, because I host from Savory and Sweet Side, I host charcuterie workshops, and you and I had talked about using your new event space that you guys have in there. Let's talk about that event space, because I know that was like open and boom, kind of shut down really quick.
Yeah, we got it open. And so there's three spaces in our building. So the brewery is one and the tap room. Next to us is the Gas Lantern Drinking Company. So it's a wine and cocktail bar,
Very good
real high end stuff. Yeah. Craft nice. Cocktails, things like that. Next to them was a little cider house tasting room. So Long Drop hard cider was there. And when Long Drop left, we decided, well, do we want to just leave this open to whoever moves in? Do we want to pick it up so that we can, you know, kind of control the building a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, we kind of always joked because it was the White Dog Event Center. it was like 4, 5, 6 days a week we were doing events and parties and music and all kinds of stuff. And there was so much more that we wanted to do. So we picked up that room as a private event center. So we started doing private parties, comedy shows, things like that in there. And it was just getting to the point that we're getting it booked up.
Right.
And then we got shut down to doing stuff. So we still have it. It's our storeroom for all of our extra tables and furniture right now.
Right.
And our landlord's been amazing to work with. They've been really good with us. So we still have that and just kind of trying to figure out what the landscape looks like in the future.
So with Boise specifically being in stage 3 now, right? So that means up to 50 people you can have in a venue spot?
For groups? Yeah, but still with social, with spacing.
Okay. And in the event room, while it is big, probably couldn't have 50 people in there, could you?
No. Yeah. Right, it
20?
Yeah, 20 we could do. We could kind of do two tables of 10.
Okay.
Right. If it was a private party or something, we could do that. It's kind of tight in there at the moment.
Okay. So anyone out there right now that is looking maybe for a spot? That's open, right? You guys are
potentially.
Potentially? Okay.
If we had somebody that really wanted to do something, but like I say, we've got a bunch of furniture in there right now.
Yeah.
So it just kind of depends.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, good. So that event space, that's, I'm looking forward to actually having a charcuterie workshop in there.
Yeah.
But the one that we were going to do, we did reschedule, and you were super amazing about heading out to my friend Nikki's place, Lovely Hollow Farms.
Yeah. Yeah, we
shout out to Nikki.
We did one at the shop too.
Oh yeah, and at my shop. Oh my gosh, that's right. So we did do our first charcuterie workshop was at the shop.
Mm-hmm.
That was at Salvage Sisters and Son location, Savory and Sweet. Since I own both of those, I was the one doing the workshop, and Dan came in, and we did a pairing of the beers to the charcuterie.
Yeah,
and that was a lot of fun. I think that night we may have only had one or two guys there. And and then the one out at Lovely Hollow Farm, a lot more men.
Yeah, for sure.
Came. So we also did the beer pairing to that too. So that was a lot of fun. So talking about beers, today Dan brought for us here the Vanilla Cream Ale, which is my go-to there.
That's why I brought it for you.
Yes. Thank you. I was definitely fingers crossed, but I knew you would not let me down. Followed up usually if I've had a few of those, maybe a river beer. If I'm getting super crazy, then I might hit like the Irish Stout or the Scotch Ale.
Yep.
But that's what he's got today. He's got the Irish Stout here and the Lazy IPA.
Hazy
IPA. Lazy, hazy. I'm not an IPA person.
Depends on how many drinks you have.
I could be lazy after the hazy. anyway, so are these your three bestsellers, or do you always have these three all the time there?
So currently we have 9 different beers in cans.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, we've got quite a range.
Okay.
Everything from hazies to those two to the Scotch Ale. We got a sour. We got our Blood Orange Hef.
Yeah.
So these are just ones I've figure the dark beers fit this time of year.
Yeah,
right?
they do. The, and then the cream ale, you guys have nitro.
At time, yep. At time, comes and goes.
Okay.
Yep. So
good. And those can be bought in a can as well.
Yep.
All right. All your beers are available like at Albertsons. I've seen them there.
Yeah. We got, yeah, we're kind of all over the state. Most of the big chains, Albertsons, Winco, Co-ops, Fred Meyer.
Nice.
And it just depends on what styles each of the stores carry.
Yeah.
There's different levels of stores, I guess you could say.
Okay.
There's some that are more craft beer centric and others that are not, depending on the neighborhoods that they're in.
Sure.
And so it just depends on what style you're going to find at which stores.
And I know you guys have a big refrigerator out towards the entrance of the place. People can ask you guys to get 6 packs out of the refrigerator. They can take them home.
Yeah.
Also just growler fills like every other place.
Yeah. Just yesterday we picked up a 3-door cooler.
Oh, so we're expanding. Oh my gosh. Out front. Oh, I'll have to come by and see that. So I'll be there soon. Yeah. usually Wednesdays are my days to go out. So maybe tomorrow. Absolutely. I'm sure it's in the cards. All right. I wanted to ask you, who comes up with the brews?
So that would be Troy.
All right, Troy the man.
Troy is a mad scientist.
He's a guy I see back there all the time.
He's the one
toiling around, and I've never met him. I'd love to meet him one time, but I think that he's always back there.
There's a reason why we keep Troy and Matt behind the glass. No, I'm just kidding. They are both super friendly, but they both like their quiet in the back.
Yeah,
they really are. Mike and I are the boisterous people, persons that we're the ones that are always out talking to customers and flitting around out front.
Yeah.
Troy and Matt love being in the back. And when you get Troy out and talking about beer, man, he'll just go off the rails and which is amazing. He's so smart. Just really enjoys the science of beer.
Yeah.
Every time we think about doing a new beer, he's pulling out his O-Chem book and looking at what's going on and how all the ingredients work together.
I think there's a lot that goes into all that.
Huge.
Like the flavors, I know you talked a lot about a little bit of that stuff at the workshop that we did at Lovely Hollow. Several of the gentlemen were asking very specific questions.
Yeah.
I was very impressed just by the questions, let alone the answers you were giving them. So
yeah,
I think you guys are all extremely knowledgeable.
Yeah. Matt's learning. Matt was never a brewer, but most of brewing can be learned, and Matt's an extremely detail oriented guy. So he's amazing in the back. He's learning the brewing, actually how to make recipes, design beers, things like that. He's learning that. He's learned how to do all the brewing.
Sure.
Your good brewers are the ones that when something goes wrong, they know how to fix it.
Okay.
When something's not off, right? Anybody can work a computer, but when it stops working, your good computer people know how to fix it.
Right.
Same thing with brewers, assistant brewers, stuff like that. So he's really learning that side of it. Okay. And Troy's the one that really comes up with the recipes. We all chat and talk about what's the style we want to come, what's next. And then Troy will just go on this deep dive and look at the history of the beer. Where did it come from? What were the traditional ingredients? What's the science behind what's going on in that beer? And then come up with a recipe.
Okay.
And he's I say it's kind of like a chef.
Yeah.
A chef doesn't throw a bunch of stuff together hoping that it tastes right.
Right.
They know in their mind where they want it to come out.
Exactly.
And then they work backwards.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's kind of what Troy does also.
Oh, wow. Okay. There's a lot that goes into that. Holy cowboy. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I think that you guys have, I know you guys have a ton of regulars at White Dog, which is so good. Yeah. It's always nice when you have a good following and whatnot. I'm sure they've all been going there since you opened as well.
Yeah.
Like me, which I like. And so that brings me then to the other topic that I wanted to talk about, because I know you guys do some really cool weekly events there. I know you guys have trivia night.
We do. Wednesday night is trivia night.
Wednesday night trivia nights. I got to get the girls back to trivia night. So Nikki and Rebecca, if you're listening to this podcast,
we're waiting for you.
Next one is us. We're the FNL, the Flowers, Nosh, and Libations.
There you go.
Nikki does flowers. Catherine does the Nosh. And then Rebecca, she's got her drink wagon. So we're FNL. And we did, We thought we won. I don't think we really won last time. I think it was a give me card that you gave us, which we appreciated. It was a $25 gift card. That was a lot of fun. So you guys have trivia night Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
You also had to kind of cut the season short, I think, for your, what is that called? Cornhole.
Yeah.
Right?
So we, when COVID shut us down, actually gave us a really good chance to just reevaluate everything. Our hours, our processes, our everything top to bottom. And it was really good. So because a lot of people weren't working downtown now, we decided to close Monday and Tuesdays because it's slow.
Yeah.
It was always slow. Now,
I think that's very typical in Boise in general.
Exactly.
Mondays for sure.
Yeah.
Tuesdays, a smidge more, but not much.
Yep. So we decided to just stay closed on Mondays and Tuesdays, but we wanted to do something to drive a little bit of revenue and have some fun. So we started doing 6-week cornhole leagues.
Oh my gosh.
The brewery is so wide open, we can set up 3 sets of cornhole boards in the brewery, shuffle the tables around a little bit. We have 10 teams each night. And we over the 6 weeks, everybody plays everybody else twice. And so you come in, it's from 6 to 9. We play 5 rounds and you play 3 out of the 5.
Oh, okay.
So you got some time sitting, watching, some time playing. And that way,
do you get bumped out at all, or do you?
Nope.
Or
you're you play all 6 weeks.
This might be something for FNL to try one time.
Yeah. So it's just a big round robin, and it's fun. We're having so much fun doing it. It's a kick.
Okay.
So we started it last fall, and then we started the second set of leagues 1 week before they locked everything down again.
Okay.
So we had to cancel it.
Right.
But we got it started back up again.
Okay, good.
Now that things are kind of loosening up. So we're up and going again on the leagues.
So what night is that on?
Mondays and Tuesdays.
Mondays and Tuesdays for the cornhole.
And so it's a 6-week league. We've got, I think, 2 or 3 weeks left for this league. And then we'll take a couple weeks off and then we'll start another one.
Okay.
So yeah, if anybody's interested, hit us up, get on a call on a waiting list. And when the next league signups come around, we give it first option to existing teams and then open it up to new teams.
Okay.
After that. So,
all right. So that's Monday, Tuesday, trivia night, Wednesday.
Yep.
You guys had some, comedy. Did you guys have comedy?
We were with our old stuff.
Okay.
We were doing once a month comedy shows.
Right.
We were doing all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
Right now, those are the 3 nights that have kind of scheduled things going on.
Okay.
We backed off a little bit just until things get normalized out a little bit.
Okay.
And we'll get some of those more normal. Yeah, you know, we were always doing paint nights. And,
yeah, you guys had all that. Gosh. Hopefully we can get back to.
We will. It's coming.
The time when we can do all that again. That was.
Absolutely.
A lot of good stuff going on in there. So along with the fine beer that you guys have, you also have amazing food. Smoking Time.
Super lucky.
Dave.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Dave's last name. Or just say Dave.
Do you have a guess? Just Dave.
Dave, just Dave.
No, his name's Dave Haley.
Dave. My guess would not have been Haley. Yeah. Might have been Smith or Jones, but.
Nope. Dave's amazing.
Dave. Yeah. Dave. Dave actually, he did the food for my sister's surprise birthday party that I had there. Gosh. Not last December. I think it was a December before, maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Good food. I always order the, bacon jam burger? Bacon?
The beer and bacon
beer
burger.
Beer and bacon burger. There you go.
Yeah.
That, I love that.
Yeah.
That's really good. So he's got a lot of really good food on the menu there. And I know that you guys are doing Thursday night specials.
We are. So we just started a couple of weeks ago doing a food and beer pairing every Thursday night. And so,
like that.
Or every Thursday.
Right.
We do it all day Thursday.
Okay. So it goes all day.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. And we just started it as something fun to do. It gives the kitchen staff and Dave an opportunity to be creative, right? Every week to come up with something new. And then we get to pair it with one of the beers. And so it's something fun. It's a one-off. It's only going to be there on Thursday and then it's gone.
I know, because you gave me a taste of the... one, the queso dip.
Yes. We've done some amazing things.
That was really good.
The Texas Twinkies were amazing. It was a stuffed jalapeno.
Dang.
With chorizo sausage in it and brisket, bacon, cream cheese. It was amazing.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
We last week was the bison quesadillas.
Oh yeah, I did see those. They were delicious. Shoot. And then you had your Valentine's.
We did the Valentine's
special, right?
Yeah. Which was a surf and turf thing. Yeah. It's amazing. So we're starting to get more fun, just kind of doing one-offs, little things. And it's also giving us a chance to test a bunch of things to see if we want to put them on the next menu.
Right.
Because we rotate the menu once a quarter.
Yeah. That's kind of good too, because you don't want to, I mean, it's nice to have the same staples on there that you know are the go-tos.
Yeah.
Like the burgers.
Yep.
Whatnot.
But a lot of those
French dip.
Yeah. But a lot of those other things are fun to rotate.
Oh, yeah. And,
right. Coming into summer, you want some lighter stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Winter, you want comfort food.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's been kind of fun testing things, and we might add some of those things into the permanent menu.
All right. Oh, gosh. The queso would be really, really good. For sure.
Yeah. Mm,
very good. All right. So, is there anything else that White Dog has in the foreseeable future that you guys are gunning to try to do or anything like that? Or do you feel like you guys are just trying to kind of just go, do you guys think like month to month or 6 months to 6 months, quarterly? How do you guys like sit, I guess, on your round table, if you will, and brainstorm?
We're actually getting, probably within the next week or two, we'll have a big powwow.
Okay.
And get, you know, some strategic planning. What's coming up? What do we want to start pushing? What are we going to get into?
Right.
What do we want to really, you know, right now is you got to be so flexible right now.
Oh yeah.
Right. Cause we don't even know what's going to happen next week.
Oh gosh. I know. Let's hope it's
yeah.
On the other end,
everything's looking good.
The way we're going, everything's looking great. We let's get to the next stage. Yeah.
Yeah. But even in a couple of months, all of a sudden it's going to be nice outside again.
Right.
People are, you know, outdoor events starting up.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of one of those things. What do we want to push on as a group? You know, what's our distribution look like? What new beers do we want? Cause that's not a short process, right?
Sure.
You got to have some planning you got to have open taps. You got to get all the ingredients in, you got to do the brewing.
And I'm sure thinking for spring and summer, you must probably think less heavy beer.
Yep. Usually lighter beers,
more crisp.
Yep. And what also fits our tap list,
mm-hmm.
right? Or what's the next beer that we're going to can?
Right.
Where's our holes in there as far as styles go and things like that? If we're going to do barrel-aged beers, that's a planned process
because
now you're looking a ways out. Yeah, very much just kind of a figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys, I know, are also involved in a lot of like beer festival type events.
Generally, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So are any of those scheduled right now for summer, or is everything sort of
Things are on hold until about August.
Okay.
Is kind of what they're looking at.
Gosh.
Maybe starting to open things up a little bit.
All right. Which August is still a little ways out, but boy, February is bought by pretty quick.
Well, it's crazy how
fast the time is
going already. Yeah.
Sure.
Always is. Everybody says that every year.
Right.
Can't believe how fast it's going.
No, for sure. I'm serious. Well, I have, really, I always enjoy hearing the story about White Dog. I feel very invested in White Dog.
Yeah.
I love White Dog.
Yeah.
And what?
Speaking of.
Yeah.
The name.
Yeah.
So Cammy the White Dog.
Oh, yeah. Duh. That's probably the most important
thing.
Why
we're called
White Dog. Why are you White Dog?
So we, Joe and JC, Troy's brother, they had a white lab.
Oh.
Named Cammy.
Okay.
Joe always called her White Dog.
Oh.
So that's where the name came from. Miss Cammy actually just died about 2 weeks ago. We just lost Cammy.
Oh, no.
So we lost our namesake.
Oh, gosh.
And so we're actually trying to put together and do some kind of fun remembrance thing for Cammy, just as a throw out to
her. Is that Cammy's picture in the brewery?
If you walk into the brewery
right.
and look to your left underneath
yeah.
the TV,
uh-huh.
there's a dog with a tennis ball
yes.
in her mouth. That's Cammy.
Oh.
Yep.
Gosh.
So, yeah, Cammy was a total sweetheart. She was a rescue dog.
Very cute.
Kind of a total weirdo. But she was awesome.
So. Well, that's a very cute story. And
yeah.
I'm sorry for the loss of their dog.
Yeah, it's always
tough. That's a bummer.
But it's okay. We'll do something fun to remember.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, I want to say thank you, Dan, for taking the time to come in here and talk to me about White Dog Brewery. I do feel that, you know, even though you guys have now, is it going four? Year four?
We're about 3.5 right now.
Right. You do help curate Boise. And that's what this podcast is about the places and the people that I feel personally curate Boise and make Boise a great place to visit, live, travel through or whatever. So anyone out there, if you haven't heard of White Dog, and I don't know how you could not have heard of this place, look it up or re-listen to this podcast, get the information, and head on over there for some good beer.
Absolutely.
What's the address, Dan, for White Dog?
705 West Fulton Street.
Okay. And you can also find White Dog on Instagram at?
White Dog Boise. White Dog. I think it's White Dog Brewing Boise.
Okay. Yep. White Dog Brewing Boise on Instagram.
Instagram, Facebook. Yep. It's
the same. The same.
Yep.
All right. And if you're in there, you'll see Dan. As you mentioned, he's in a wheelchair, so he would likely be hard to miss.
It's either going to be me zipping around or Mike. Mike's the big, tall, bald guy.
Mike is big and tall, yes.
Yep. So, either one of us would be happy to chat with you anytime.
And let them know that you heard about White Dog on this podcast.
Do. Absolutely.
That would be awesome. I'm sure they'll give you a taster of a beer for that.
Anytime.
So thank you, Dan.
Awesome. Thank you.
I appreciate it so much. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening and tune in for our next episode. Thank you. Okay, everyone, I have a super rad company that's sponsoring Curating Boise, Coffee and Supply Co. Looking for a new coffee experience? Try Coffee and Supply Co., located in Eagle, Idaho. It's family-owned and features a pour-over bar, a unique bites menu, including vegan and gluten-free options. Of course, it's all locally sourced. Mention Speak Boise and receive 10% off any food and beverage. Visit coffeeandsupplyco.com and tell them I sent you. Need help growing your business? It's what you don't know that will cost you. Talu Peer Advisory Groups is here for every stage of business growth. Find out more at talloo.com. As one of the fastest growing areas in the entire nation, finding the right home is only as important as finding the right realtor. And who better in the Treasure Valley than Regina Collins, realtor. Licensed in both Idaho and California and self-employed since 1999, Regina Collins prides herself on a strong business and marketing background. With years of experience owning and operating full-staff businesses, Regina Collins is ready to work for you. Specializing in relocation, veterans, and military families, listings, buyers, commercial, new homes, contingencies, and solar, Regina Collins is able to offer the whole package for her buyers. Whether you are new to Boise, want a better lifestyle for you and your family, or just want to get to know the area better, Regina Collins is honored to help you with this process. For more, visit reginaforhomes.com. Hey, thanks everyone for tuning in. Hope you guys like what you heard. If you want to listen to more episodes, please subscribe and give us a 5-star review. To see how I'm doing my part in curating Boise, check out my Instagrams at SavoryN, that's the letter N, Sweet Inc., and at Salvage Sisters and Son. Tune in next week. Peace.